I'm just going to briefly touch on the things that I shared in a broader way during first service. We have worshiped God this morning. He has been in our midst. We have seen Jesus at work. We've seen the power of God to transform and change lives and draw people to Himself. And this is enough to praise God for what we've already witnessed together. And as we journey together for just a few moments in this passage of Scripture, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I invite Your Holy Spirit to be with us, to continue to linger in our hearts and minds. May Your Word fill us with strength and a new vision of Jesus, we pray in His name. Amen. In the beginning of the fall, we started our journey in Revelation, the seven churches. We've been preaching out of Revelation all fall during the Hope for the Homeland meetings. And I told you at the beginning of that series that Revelation, okay, the purpose of Revelation is not to focus on end time events, although it does. The purpose of Revelation is not to paint how bad the world is, although it is bad, and the world and Revelation does paint that picture. What I asserted at the beginning of our journey together in Revelation is that the very focus of Revelation itself, the first and foremost focus of Revelation, is a revealing of Jesus Christ. And when we look at this book, we come to realize that Jesus is not only the center, but He is at the center of all things that this book communicates. And we've tasted a bit of the power and the blessing that this book promises, because we have been focusing on Jesus as He has been outlining different issues in our lives and issues in our world. Everything, and absolutely everything, is imaginatively subordinated to Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. And as we conclude our journey in Revelation, I just wanted to come again to the very first picture of Jesus that we find here in the opening verses of this awesome book. This picture of Jesus, where we are promised grace to you. It's an opening salutation, a grace to you and peace, an opening greeting. But as that opening greeting goes on, it turns into a doxology as John's mind begins to wrestle with what he is beginning to describe about Jesus. And what he says about Jesus is very awesome and very powerful. Some of the most powerful words, some of the most spiritually igniting words that we could ever find in Scripture are found right here in this passage, where it refers to Jesus as the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. To Him who loves us, John says, and He released us from our sins by His blood, and He has made us to be a kingdom and priest to His God and Father. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. John, his mind, his imagination stirring with this awesome Jesus. Three titles and three awesome achievements of Jesus on our behalf. Three titles: faithful witness. Jesus witnessed for God, witnessed what God was like here on earth. He witnessed so faithfully that even at the point of death, He consistently and clearly gave us a glimpse into the character and the heart of God. Jesus is the faithful witness, and Jesus not only witnesses what God's character is, but Jesus' witness is an unchanging witness, and His testimony is unchanging, and His testimony does not compromise truth at all. And Jesus is also the firstborn from the dead, because Scripture, as well as our own experience in life, tells us that we all live in the shadow of death. And were it not for Jesus, who has gone through the experience of death and came up in the resurrection, were it not for Him that we could see beyond death, that we could see on the other side of death, and Jesus as the one who has been raised from the dead, there would be no peace, there would be no grace in our lives, there would be no hope, we would still be under the shadow of death when we see the loss of our loved ones, when we are facing death ourselves as an old person or as a young person. And then Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth. And we could spend a lot of time talking about how it reminds us our status and how Jesus empowers us to maintain that status. There is nothing in heaven or earth that can keep us from experiencing the promises that Jesus has in has given to us, and He expresses in His person, because He is ruler of the kings of the earth. No one can condemn us. No one can vanquish us. Ultimately, surely, and unequivocally, Jesus has the power over all kingdoms of the earth, and He has powers over the spirits of darkness, the satanic spirits that stand behind these kingdoms that we call the kingdoms of this earth. And I praise God, I praise Jesus for that. Three titles for Jesus, and three awesome achievements. First of all, Jesus, the Bible tells us here, He loves us, not in the past, but in the present tense. He loves us, to Him who loves us, John says. And I want to tell you, nothing could be more profound for us to grasp at any point in our life is to know that we are important to God. Amen? This week, sharing with somebody who was feeling pretty bad about themselves and some things, some decisions that they had made in their lives and some things that they have experienced and said and done, they were feeling pretty bad. And when I started talking to them and reminding them how important they are to God, how Jesus loves them, how Jesus cares for them, their eyes lit up with a peace and a glow, and tears began to swell in their eyes. Praise God that Jesus loves us, right? And that love leads Jesus then to give His life, to release us from our sins by His blood, His death on the cross. And the imagery of being released has the idea of us being tied up or us being imprisoned or being in chains. And so that we cannot control our own destiny, we cannot control our own lives, we cannot control our own feelings. But somehow, in some way, in some awesome, powerful way, when we connect with the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf, He releases us from the penalty of sin, that we lose that sense of the burden of guilt. There is no more condemnation for us. And He releases us from the power of that sin as well, as we've seen in Walter's life and other individuals' lives this morning. And that's something to praise God about, isn't it not? Grace to you and peace, as the passage of Scripture says to us. And then there's this new status. We're not only important to God, not only has God done an awesome work for us that we cannot do for ourselves because we can't get ourselves out of the prison house of sin and failure, but then there's that new status where we're priests and kings to God. That's where this passage is taking us this morning, and I wish we had time to develop it all. But what I want us to see is, as John's mind was filling with these three titles of Jesus, which are three gifts to us, His faithful testimony, and His resurrection, and His power over evil, and His love for us, three more, His achievements, His love for us. These are three gifts, awesome gifts, six gifts, awesome gifts altogether. And how does John respond to this? What do you say about these things that Jesus has done for us? All John could do is to begin to praise God. And so what you find here in the beginning of Revelation, you find a greeting, grace to you and peace. But as that greeting goes on, and the writer of that greeting begins to think about what he's even writing about, it turns into a doxology. And then he says, to Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. And that's the note that I want our hearts to focus on this morning. How do we respond to the awesome vision of Jesus and what He is able to do for us? What He has done for us? That response is a response of praise and a response of glad adoration and a response of joy and a response of commitment. Because the verse says, glory to Him and power to Him, or dominion for Him. And glory means honor and praise and pride and joy, and dominion puts focus on control and supreme direction in one's life. And how do we give honor and glory to Jesus Christ? How do we do it? How do we do it? The other day, I was sitting in my office talking with Walter. And as we were talking about some things, he just sat back in his chair and he says, all I want to do is honor Jesus. I don't care how the baptistry goes. I don't care who reads my letter. I don't care whether it's all read or part of it. I don't care. I just want to honor Jesus. And I looked at Walter and I said to Walter, you are honoring Jesus by you receiving Him as your Lord and your Savior. There is nothing that we could ever do that could bring more honor, more glory to Jesus, to express His dominion and His sovereignty in our lives. There is nothing greater than we could do to bring Him that glory and express that sovereignty than to yield our lives to Him and allow Him to release us from our sins, to allow Him to give us hope of the resurrection, to allow Him to love us and for us to respond to that love, to receive that love. There's nothing greater that we could give in light of His awesome gifts. The greatest gift that we can ever give to Him is ourselves, our own hearts, and to let Him be Savior and Lord in our lives. And I just want to stand before you here this morning as your pastor, as your friend, as a husband, as a father, someone in this community. I want to stand before you and say that I want to worship Jesus. I want to take this moment at the close of the year. I want to bow my heart down to the living, holy God of heaven. I want to bow my heart down to this Jesus who loves me, this Jesus who gave His death to release me from my sins. I want to surrender myself fully and completely to this Jesus who gives me hope of eternal life, who gives me power, because He alone is worthy of the affections and the focus and the surrender of my heart and my life. He's worthy, and I want to worship Him, not with my lips only or with my actions only, but with my entire self, my entire being. Thus, John will say, to Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. And then you have, at the end, the Amen. And that Amen means that's the way it should be. But when we place an Amen at the end of a doxology or a vision of Jesus and what He has done, we are saying, that's how I want it for me. I invite you, along with those who have made decisions for Jesus this morning, I invite you, as this year draws to a close, as you stand around as a family and celebrate the birth of Jesus in the coming new year, imagine yourself before this awesome Jesus. Imagine yourself before Him and bow down your heart and open yourself to Him. Let Him cleanse you. Let Him wash you. Let Him forgive you. Let Him impress you and lead you. Let Him love you. That's what will honor Him the most and bring the greatest joy to Him during this time.
You've been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2004, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. For additional cassettes or CDs by this speaker, or for a free catalog of other American Cassette Ministries resources, please contact us as follows. Visit our secure website at www.americancassette.org. Our entire catalog is online, plus thousands of other selections to choose from. We accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover credit cards. Our email address is info@americancassette.org. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 800-233-4450. For international orders, dial 717-652-7000. For fax orders, dial 717-652-9050. Or you may simply write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17108 in the United States of America. Maintaining the integrity of the Three Angels' messages for 29 years, American Cassette Ministries requests your continued prayers and financial support as we strive to provide you with the finest, most powerful spiritual messages available. Our one purpose in ministry? To prepare you and your loved ones to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.